Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It is a Food Friday. You might hear about them in the paper or on Facebook for one night only, or maybe for a whole day or a week. A team of culinary experts will take over a space and transform it into a unique dining experience. It's called a pop-up restaurant, and they serve pop-up dinners. We have one such culinary team in the studio today who organizes pop-ups around the region. Chefs Mark Graham, Ryan Bowden, and Mike Nicoli do the food. Baker Linda Kindlin, owner of Bake For You in Albany, does the dessert. They're the three chefs and a baker. They're talking the region. No, they're taking the region by storm, and they're here to answer your questions. Well, chefs, Linda, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
You're on time.
Thank you.
Well, to first.
Mark's on time. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also comment on the Vox Pop page of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. Check in on Facebook at facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. All right, gang, when was the last time you were on?
Last spring? No, I don't remember.
It seems like about a year ago.
Yeah, I definitely don't know. Yeah. I was absent that day.
Yeah. Well, that's right. You weren't here. No. Mark was very, very late. He showed up at about 20 minutes after the show began.
True.
And,
that's true.
The world of chefs.
I think Linda and Mike carried the show pretty well.
They did a great job.
They usually do. And they carry us both very well.
Absolutely.
I'll remind you all, we try not to swear. Okay. Linda, I'm looking at you.
I'm going to leave right now.
Okay. No promises. No promises.
And so what's new? What pop-ups have we done in the last year, and what's coming up?
We did one at the museum.
We did one at
which the museum?
Brookside Museum and Ballston Spa.
Yeah, and what was the fare for that one?
How
much did it cost to get on the bus to go there? Right? what did you serve?
Because that was an expensive bus ride. I don't remember what we did.
It was lighter. I did intermezzo and dessert and scones.
Right.
Yeah. I think I did a crudo. I was absentee that day as well.
See a little theme with Brian.
Okay, I'm here today.
I should say, Mike and Linda, since you're sharing a microphone, you got to get a little closer when you speak.
Got to get closer.
Well, you know, only when you speak. You can lean in.
Okay.
It's like Paul and George when they were singing back up on the Beatles, you know? Share a microphone.
You remember them, right?
Ouch.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah.
We're
these
off to
kids.
A real good start here.
Yeah.
800-348-2551 is the telephone number. So what is what's coming up next?
April 10th.
Where?
Go ahead, Mike.
So we're doing one at my new restaurant, Restaurant Navona, which is in Albany, 289 New Scotland Avenue.
I'm sorry, where is it?
It's in Albany at 289 New Scotland Avenue.
And it's called what?
Restaurant Navona.
Navona.
And I own it.
Nice.
My
so
wife and I.
What kind of fare do you serve there?
Deliciousness.
We installed
see what you did there, Ray.
sharp Ray. We do wood-fired food, so we installed a wood-fired oven, and we have a Mediterranean Italian feel to our menu. We do fresh fish daily. Just about everything on our menu has touched that wood-fired oven at some point or another.
Yeah.
We make in-house pastas.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And so how long have you been open?
We opened New Year's Eve was our soft opening.
Brave.
It wasn't very soft. We've been very good. We're in a wonderful neighborhood, great people. We've been very well received so far. So we're doing our dinner there on April 10th.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And so you won't say what you're serving, right? This is part of the surprise, or will you tell us?
We will not tell you.
Just show up and eat.
This is actually the first time anybody's heard of it right now. So
this
is it. This is the launch.
This is the promotion.
This is a big announcement.
This is very exciting.
Yeah.
So it's been a year, and obviously there have been more of these. Albany maybe is not always as culturally on the edge as, say, New York City.
What? I'm sorry.
I think that's why we started.
Radio, so you can't see my.
I need to get out more, Ray. You got to get out of this booth more, Ray.
I got you. But pop-ups are really gaining steam, right?
Yeah. Yes.
They're a lot of fun.
They're fun.
It's a creative outlet. You know, sometimes as a chef or someone, then you're in a spot. You kind of get restricted either by your menu or by just the style that you do in your restaurant. This really is just an outlet to do whatever you want to do, you know, and. Yeah, you know, for the most part, it's always well received for us.
Okay, for the most part, are there those grumps who say, you know, what is this?
There's one in every crowd.
Yeah,
that would be me.
But we weed them out.
No,
we've
been very fortunate.
I mean, escorted out the door.
you can go now.
No, we've had really, really nice people.
Yeah.
We've been well received. We've had people come back.
Like, yeah, you know, I think a lot of people understand that what they're signing up for. They're signing up for an experience that they're not sure what they're going to get. They're the adventurous diner, and that's exactly who we're looking for, you know?
So most of them are either following Brian, Mike, Linda, or myself. So the crowd is not, they don't know what we're doing. They have an idea who we are and what we do anyway. So they're just like, well, I like Mike's food, so no matter what he's going to serve, I trust him. And so they just come, and they're not like, oh, well, you know, I can't eat this and I can't eat that.
No.
Right. Sit and eat.
So, you have followers?
Yeah.
Chefs have followers?
Groupies. Like,
really?
Fans.
You're kidding me. You're kidding me.
It was tough getting in the building. We had
so much ego. That was the only thing that was slowing us down.
All right. Well, it's like a One Direction concert here. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Mark Graham, Brian Bowden, Linda Kindlin, and Mike Nicoli are here to take your calls. We have food here today, too, right?
Award-winning food.
I'm the maternal one out of this group.
Linda, you're the only one. We have three chefs who brought nothing.
No. Yes.
And
no.
The baker brought some good stuff.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Amazing. What'd you bring?
Linda always does. That's what makes these meetings the best.
The best part.
Which is almost why she got the job.
Yeah, exactly.
We need somebody who's going to bring sweets.
Someone to bring sweets and swear, obviously.
Right.
You need that.
Gee, I have like the worst reputation.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah. The worst bleeping reputation.
I do.
Well, I did hear you, I mean, before we started the show.
Not really covering it up, Linda.
God, I hope my mother's not listening.
They were very mild.
She brought some of her award-winning
nice.
Irish soda bread.
What award?
Congratulations, Linda.
Oh,
did you actually win an award for
that? True story.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
What was it?
The Irish Heritage Museum.
You're kidding me.
No.
Oh, congratulations.
No,
yeah,
we did.
Legit.
Really legit.
Good. Perfect time.
What's in this box, though? You haven't opened this box yet.
Yeah, what's in the
what
box?
In okay.
Box. What do we have? I think it's, we have 20. Girl's Best Friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's the chocolate chip cookie?
Is that
with potato
a pastry
chip and pretzels.
Just called that out.
We have chocolate chip and coconut, Earl Grey, and a chocolate chip.
Nice.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, that's good. We'll sample those in a bit. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number on this Food Friday. Mark Graham, what has been the latest in, what are your followers talking about now?
But just ask them. They're right outside the studio.
What are you working on, man? What's been happening since you've been on?
I've been doing a lot of consulting and bouncing around from restaurant to help out this restaurant and that restaurant, which leaves me to be creatively open.
Yeah.
I helped out Tala. I'm working with a restaurant in Malta called Campagne, and now I'm consulting at the wine bar in Saratoga where I was a chef back in 2000.
So what does a consultant do? You just go in and say, change the drapes?
No. No drapes. All food stuff. I do the kitchen. I focus on making sure the numbers are going to match out right and try.
What do you mean the numbers? You mean as far as what you're laying out and what you're bringing in?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. You know the
so you're a money man.
Well, not exclusively. The creative side is to sort of bring exciting ideas to. Cause sometimes we're talking about doing these events because we get sort of in a rut but using the same old routine. So bringing a fresh mind and a fresh ideas and sometimes they'll bring me in just for that. We need some ideas and menus, kind of this, and we want to make it sexy, so bring it back up.
Being kind of humble about it. You know, Mark's been on a mission for a while here, and he, you know, young chefs in this area, and I'm sure anywhere, any area around, you know, there's a lot of glory presented to them, you know, how great everything could be, and then it becomes a grindhouse for them, and it can be really hard and wearing on a young, unsuspecting young chef. Mark has done a lot of due diligence in taking young chefs and placing them in places where he sees their fit, using his experience to say, your style, your attitude, your demeanor fits really well into this organization or this restaurant. He's placed quite a few young chefs, and it's something to be proud
of. Isn't that cheating, though? I mean,
that is not cheating.
No.
When you're making your bones, isn't it important to sort of fail sometimes?
They'll still have opportunities
to make their bones.
Don't
worry, that's inevitable. That's inevitable.
Lack opportunity to fail, but sometimes you need the right house. And it's not just with the young chefs, it's also the owners. They're looking for a particular type of personality that fits in into their environment, because the restaurants are like building your own family. So you want people skill as well as personality-wise to fit in.
The dynamic has to work, yeah.
Yeah, for longevity to happen. So I try to bring both those things together.
Now, when we did this show last year, you had been doing the pop-up dinners how long? Was it fairly new?
It was brand new.
Yeah, we'd only done it.
In fact, we did the radio specifically to promote that we were launching this thing, and we had talked about how two or three other chefs in the area were also doing it, and so then we went on from that. Right?
So what have you learned about each other? Now that you've done several of these over the past year?
A lot.
Really? Do you still like each other?
A lot, yeah.
Even more.
Yeah.
Remember that discussion about the Beatles?
Yeah. Okay.
But because we don't, I would say it's more like Genesis, where...
Yeah. Wow. So you're Peter Gabriel.
We're about to start swearing.
Yeah.
Where you can go off and do your separate projects, but when you come back together, you build something that's cool.
All right. And so it's been going well. As far as the actual nuts and bolts of putting one of these things on, the team works pretty well together?
That's the fun part.
Why is that the fun part?
We're all goofy. And we just kind of, creative.
Right. We're very similar in a lot of those and very different also in a lot of respects. Mm-hmm. But also, Linda owns her own business. I own her business. They're chefs. We're going,
all the time.
So when you have to, for work reasons, get together and plan something like this, it's great to have to plan things with people like this.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll pick up this thread in a moment. The number to call is 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. Mark Graham is here. Ryan Bowden, Linda Kinland, and Mike Nicoli. Ray Graff at the helm. We'll be back with your calls, hopefully, at some point.
Support for WMC comes from the Pioneer Valley Chinese Immersion Charter School, now enrolling 6th and 9th grades, hosting an information session Saturday, March 12th at 1 p.m., pvcics.org. Viva Fresh Pasta, 30 years and 30 wines by the glass, European cuisine infused with flavors of the world, Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork, vivafreshpasta.com. Project Native, hosting Embracing the Greatest Challenge of Our Time at the Mahewi Performing Arts Center, March 12th, as part of their 6th Annual Environmental Film Festival. ProjectNative.org for information. And Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, celebrating Easter with milk, dark, white chocolate bunnies, and hand-packed baskets, located on Albany Street, Schenectady, and Newton Plaza, Loudonville. UncleSamsCandy.com.
Vox Pop. It is a Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here. We're joined by three chefs and a baker today, and we talk pop-up dinners. The baker is Linda Kindlin. The chefs are Mark Graham, Brian Bowden, and Mike Nicoli. And Mark said you guys are like Genesis. You'll do your own solo projects, and then you come back, and you get together, and you do these pop-up dinners. But it occurred to me that to some extent, many chefs can be not control freaks, but bordering on control freaks.
Yeah.
So how do the egos mesh? Now, that's kind of why I asked, how has it been going and how are you meshing over the last year?
I think we've gotten closer, actually.
I think so.
I think the egos are checked at the door immediately. And I think that, the dynamic that it brings just really translates to our dishes as well. You know, we can get together, after 6 months, 8 months, a year, and just kind of, pick up right where we left off, and it really it makes a difference in what we do. It kind of gives us a break from the everyday ho-hum of our existing jobs. We can jump into...
Wow, you sound very enthused.
Well, I mean,
it's a lot of hours.
He's just getting started.
Yeah, well. Yeah. But we work long hours. I mean,
right.
Our weeks are not normal.
Is it worth the effort, the extra effort to do this when you all have day gigs? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because I think initially what drew us to this industry is the creative aspect, and that passion is sort of consistent, even though you've got to do your daily grind, taking care of your bills, this, that, and the other, your responsibilities. But that running theme of what drove us to do this is still there. So when we come together to sit down and put a dinner together, it's focused back on that passion. And that's all we focus on.
And there are no clashes at any time as you're preparing these, conceptually to actually putting the plates
it's
out.
It's kind of freakish.
Yeah, never to each other's faces.
No.
Always behind each other's backs. Yeah,
best
like,
way.
You know, two people complain about another two. But no, when we're in a group, we're completely full of
absolutely.
It. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like family.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
The passive-aggressive three chefs in a baker.
Right.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Mary Louise in Loudonville, you're on.
Oh, hi. I'm loving listening to you guys today. And my question is actually sort of for everyone, but I think it was almost covered a little bit in what you just said. I was curious about when you come together to try and plan one of these dinners, do you guys throw out themes, or is it kind of just what you're feeling like that day, or do you have an idea of sort of what's new in the country and you want to try some things? Just curious how that comes about.
You want to hang on for a follow-up, Mary Louise?
Sure, I can do that.
Okay. Well, let's start with that, and then we're going to find out how long it takes to do this.
The first dinner we did was a themed concept. It was a night in Provence or something like that at
Piedmont.
Right, Piedmont, thank you. And then I think from there we left it open without restrictions, right?
Well, with the part we were just talking about, how we enjoy each other's company and we have a good time. Like, we go in with a concept. We'll say, all right, let's get together. We need to come up with a theme and kind of get an idea of courses and the kind of action. We get together. We do nothing. The whole situation devolves very quickly.
Right.
And then comes time for the dinner, and we kind of just get it back together, you know. Because like you said, you know, individually our styles are all different, but they all seem to end up working together, and people are very receptive.
And how long is this process? In other words, do you book the venue first and say, well, we have to come up with something?
Yeah. It always,
maybe not that dramatic.
Roll
but
the
dice,
it forces the hand now, for sure.
It certainly starts with the location.
And
it
how long will it take to conceptualize and then get it organized and then get it ready to serve?
April 10th is right around the corner.
Right.
It's an ongoing. Yeah. We talked about our group.
We picked the date, making sure everybody was available on that date. And then we work from that aspect. So we talked about some ideas generally about what we want to do.
We should be wrapping up the planning about April 8th, 9th.
That's right. That's nice. That gives us confidence.
Menu the morning of the
10th. If anybody out there knows a chef, you know that's ahead of the game.
Right.
Exactly.
Mary Louise, do you have a follow-up question?
Oh, no, that was great. I just wanted to say thank you very much. And I wanted to also just point out quickly that I am... since we were talking about groupies earlier, I just wanted to let you guys all know that I'm a Linda groupie.
Ah.
But I'll be happy to be groupies with the other guys, too. But
all right, well,
thanks.
Spread the love. Mary, thank you. Thank you very much.
That's awesome. Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks. Bye.
800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 800-348-2551. How many concepts for a pop-up dinner do you all come up with, and how many of those get thrown away ultimately?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
A lot.
So a lot of these just hit the cutting room floor before you even start.
Well, yeah, because you come in, everybody comes in with their own, hey, I think the guys would like this. And then as we're talking through what makes sense sort of fits into, well, I was thinking, what if we did this? And these suggestions will sort of mold the concept.
Yeah. No, that's a nice part. And that's really the main focus. I mean, we come up with a general idea, but then we all attack it from our own individual perspectives. And that's, you know, how it really works well.
It does
like that.
Work.
Can it be profitable, or are you losing money on this?
We're not going to be rich.
Certainly not going to be rich.
There's no retirement in our futures. No. We're about 84.
I mean, you know.
Oh, good. Well, we'll still be doing this show because radio people don't retire either.
That's true.
Who's the money man in the group?
Oh, God.
Oh, it's you, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's not me. No. I just make sure everybody shows up. And No.
She brings cookies.
I bring cookies.
There's no business manager.
We all have business
minds. Because,
yeah, I mean, we figure it out so that, you know, we each get a little bit of scratch at the end and, you know, we don't lose any money.
It's got to be, when you're thinking about things, that has to be a sort of in the back of your mind, though, right? Because I'm sure there are some ideas where you say, okay, we're just not going to make any money on this.
Well, I don't think it's that obvious.
Really,
I think what we do is, like, as we're planning a menu, we're working on something. Let's say we're working on a menu, and Brian says, I'm going to do something with pork, and Mike says he's going to do something with this protein or vegetable. I don't think they're thinking in that process, well, I'll use pork because it's cheap. He might be saying, I have an idea, and then I will fit it into what makes sense financially.
Yeah, you know, we do
don't
kind
charge
of
a lot for the dinner.
Right, we do it kind of backwards than a business person would say. We're like, all right, this is our price point, and now let's figure it out.
Oh.
We kind of figure out the menu and say, well, what does our price point need to be to not lose our shirts on this, you know?
Right.
Because we're not out to make, like we said, we're not going to make $1 million. So no. We want to have, you know,
we just really
want to have the opportunity
fun.
To continue to do this.
If you want to offer $1 million.
No. that's for our fun drive, actually. That'll be in June. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Eric on the Thruway. Eric, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I'm actually on my way to pick up my son at culinary school for spring break.
Nice.
And, this was a very timely topic, and I'm really enjoying listening to you guys. My question is actually a really simple one, but since we have three chefs and a baker in the room, I thought it'd be quite appropriate. Basically, I've worked in the hotel industry for years in the past, and I've known many, many chefs. And not to paint a broad brush, it seems like many of them maybe aren't as happy as they might seem. So,
is anybody?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. But again, this is from my direct experience, and obviously exceptions, and the four of you seem to fit that bill. My question for you is, what advice do you have for a young, eager culinary student, fresh into the field, to basically, you know, do the best they can with respect to their chosen career, but also kind of maintain that sense of joy, if you will, so that it doesn't get lost with the drag of the long hours and you know, the holidays and all the things that go along with that.
And
I'll happily take my answer off the air. Thanks,
Eric,
guys.
Thanks a lot. Drive safely. Well, that's a great question.
That's a really good question.
Call Mark Graham.
Yeah.
I've tried to encapsulate the idea of being an executive chef, and it's not like we're that much, like we're superheroes. We're not policemen. We don't save people's lives. But the grind of it at the start of the career is, I think, necessary to sort of strengthen you in what you want to do for the rest of your life. And you'll either do it and find peace in it, or you do it because that's what you know how to do. But for me, as an individual, because I love to cook and I love to give, and that's what cooking is, it's about giving, then all the other elements that may be arduous or stressful or even bad for your health as far as timing and, you know, not getting your rest right or eating right, whatever, all that plays as a secondary to what is important to you as an individual, to giving to someone and having your voice to share. So
yeah, and
the grind is know what you want and figure out sort of plotting your path as to where you think you want to go. There's different.
It's only an hour show, Mark.
Oh, I'm
sorry. I like it though. But there's a difference between knowing what you want and then actually doing it and say, my God, I had no idea that it was this. Do you ever come across a starter chef or a starter cook who says, God, you know, I didn't know it was like this. I got to get out.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Even the old ones.
Well, it's funny. It reminds me very much of radio. And I see a difference in some of the young people coming in.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, I'm sorry, I'll sound old because I am old. We would work, I'd work holidays. I'd work double shifts on New Year's Day or whatever, overnights, just to get your foot in the door.
Sure.
Are the new recruits, do they still have that attitude, or is there more entitlement? Because sometimes I see that in broadcasting where they say, I don't want to do that. And then I say, why are you here?
I think that's part of the weeding process. I mean, if they start in with, you know, I want to be Mario Batali by tomorrow afternoon.
You'll know, like, within their first shift whether they're going to make it or not.
Absolutely.
Right. And there is a lot. I think there's a lot more entitlement these days. I think it's just easier to be entitled these days. They're exposed to so much. And, you know, it's glorified.
It's fantasy land, though, with all the TV chefs.
It is. It's ridiculous.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
But like Brian said, it's easy for a seasoned person to point them out and say, this person's not going to make it past their first week, month, or
whatever. Do you ever just say, hey, look, maybe you ought to rethink this?
Yeah, I think it's the best thing you can say to a young chef.
Before you use them up and spit them out.
Those are the only two options.
Thanks, Brian.
Those are the only two
options. Very nice. 800-348-2551 if you'd like some uplifting advice from chef and baker.
Come work for me.
Nancy. Nancy in Ballston Spa, you're on. Nancy.
Hi, my name is Nancy, and I own a farm-to-table breakfast place called Good Morning Cafe. And we celebrate local, organic, and fair trade food. And just this week, we've changed to a new business paradigm where we're opening up the kitchen and the dining area for people that want to come in and do their own cooking celebrate pop-ups and so forth. And we're going to still be open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for what we do well, which is wonderful breakfast. But we really want to bring the community the opportunity to have a place to cook, a place to celebrate food and a place to sort of do adventures and cooking. And the whole idea of a pop-up is so appealing, and Boston Spas just becomes such a great place for food.
Yeah.
I was wondering how to get the chefs,
okay.
I see where you're going with this.
We can't really do that kind of business on a public radio station. However...
Oh, no, I was just wondering...
Facebook page. You can contact us through our Facebook page if you'd like to contact us directly.
That's a great idea. Three Chefs and a Baker. That's good. Why don't you give that a... Yeah, Three Chefs and a Baker on Facebook.
It's called Three Chefs and a Baker?
Yeah. And that's the number three or the word three?
The number three.
Okay, great. Hey, thanks a lot, Nancy, and good luck with your endeavors. The number to call here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Linda, let's eat. What do you got?
We have some
award-winning soda breads, delicious, some Kerrygold butter. You do have some good butter.
I don't have butter.
All right, you should leave now.
There's girl's best friend.
Okay.
There's chocolate chips, chocolate chip and coconut.
Can't go wrong.
Earl Grey cookie.
I'm the only one who's going to eat here.
Are you guys all sick of Linda's work?
We don't eat.
Yeah.
Look at this, it's way too early in the day to be eating.
Look at the size of this thing. My gosh. I think Deanna Fox wrote a piece on this.
She did.
Which I actually read, and it's she said it was the cookie was the size of a 9-month-old infant's head.
Wow.
And you know, I think she's right.
Wow.
I think I have that picture of my son holding it up, and it comes.
Yeah, that's right. That's from our meeting
at Mike's Restaurant Navona.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, where was this?
That was at Restaurant
New
Navona.
Scotland Ave.
Oh, yes. Excellent. I think I'll go there.
I love it.
That's good. That's really good.
Thank you.
Mm.
He's eating the cookie now, just so.
What's in this?
Chocolate chip, potato chip, and pretzel.
Potato chips.
Because why not?
Why not?
That's counterintuitive.
I was just having a bad day, and I was eating too many potato chips and pretzels, so I just threw them in a cookie.
Salt and sweet is so delightful. Oh, here she comes, my producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall.
Just in time.
Yeah. Oh, they're really good, Jess.
Thank you. Jackpot.
Absolutely. Don't swear. Linda's been very good. I've been very.
Don't swear about the cookies.
Nope.
These are so bleeping delicious.
Nice. Thank you very much. I'm glad you showed up on time today, Mark.
Really helpful.
Okay, whispering doesn't really work on the radio.
You didn't hear that?
No. Go right ahead.
Subliminal.
No, I was telling Brian he needs to talk about where he is, because maybe...
Yeah,
can I just circle back, you know, and kind of discuss what we were talking about with Mark? I think it's important for young chefs to really... I mean, for me, to stay true to my craft, what I need to find every day is that creative outlet and, you know, some of the specials or the different foods and opportunities you have. I think the most important opportunity is... the fact that you can never stop learning, and there's always, you know, all the cuisines of the world and different techniques, I think, is, you know, what really drives me and keeps me going. So,
yeah, I agree. For the young chefs, too, to circle back to that guy's question, is make sure that they don't lose that and not get caught up in the honeymoon. You know, there is a honeymoon period where you are working sun up to sundown, and it's just completely insane, and you're loving every second of it, and it's just, it's a drug, you know.
You love it.
But that's not sustainable. That's just, you know.
You get old very fast doing that.
And so, for those younger chefs, don't get caught up in that. That's not what it's all about. That's fun when you're 20 years old.
But you need to do that, and you gain a lot.
Yes, but I think a lot of times people get caught up in that and assume this is the lifestyle from here on out, and I'm just going to go until I can't go anymore. And I think a lot of great talent gets lost. I don't think it's true. A lot of great talent gets lost through that process. So, I mean, my insight to them is do that, experience that, but don't lose track in there of the fact that you need to level out, and you know, you don't have to lose your creative edge by any means, or the tenacity you take towards doing what you believe in when it comes to food, but you don't have to kill yourself in the process,
or you'll be used up and spit out.
Right. And Brian Bowden said that. We're also joined by Mike Nicoli, Linda Kinlan, and Mark Graham. So in a way, Three Chefs and a Baker, the pop-up dinners, is a way for you to keep the creativity in and keep the...
It's exactly what Brian just mentioned. You know, he's always looking for that creative outlet. He finds it in his own restaurants through a certain product or a new ingredient or conversation
local
with
a farmer,
whatever it is. This is another aspect of that. This is what keeps our, you know, keeps us going, breeds new life into our creative minds, you know?
Is it a test kitchen to some extent? Do you find things
oh,
that
yeah.
you do in the pop-up dinners that end up in your regular menu?
You know, we're sort of all kind of the same. I mean, to a certain extent, I mean, we're all kind of the same. We don't really like to repeat a lot of the same stuff. Yeah. Like, we don't. So, no, it is in a way, but it's not like, oh, this dish was awesome, and then you emulate that dish exactly.
Why not?
It's just not, I don't know, I think collectively we don't operate like that. Like, certain elements are awesome, or a technique that you used is really cool, and then you apply it to something else. But to keep everything fresh for us, I think we're always, you know, you're always working,
evolving.
Yeah, you're always working on the same techniques, but you don't have to use the same ingredients.
You got that face. What?
I just wondered. I wonder how. I'm thinking about 24 hours in a day.
Right.
You run a restaurant. What are you going to 5 in the morning to bake, Linda?
It's not pretty. Nice.
Okay.
It's not
how do you do it and stay alive?
We just don't.
That's what keeps us alive.
Coffee.
Honestly, yes.
Coffee.
I'm caffeine free.
Really?
Soda.
Me too.
Right. When did that happen?
I gave up diet soda.
Oh, she's 25 pounds of sugar cookies a day.
No, I can't do that.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah,
now
it gets very ugly.
Yeah.
Wonder why I curse.
No, she's amazing. she actually, you go to the gym and stuff, right?
Yeah, 5 days a week.
That's insane.
Who does that?
We still drink coffee and don't sleep.
Yeah.
I don't drink coffee.
You know,
it's green tea.
Green tea.
Really? That's not a lot of caffeine.
I was never a caffeine guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the 24-hour grind is, again, that is the drug that gets you fired up to do it. And the creative push to always try to keep evolving what you've learned, what you've got inspired by, is why we don't. You know, when we do a pop-up dinner, I don't want to take that dish that was amazing that night and then put it on the menu. I'm like, no. Let's continue to do something
and,
else.
And, you know, food isn't, and that's exactly it. You know, food and restaurants, it's not just about that plate in front of you. You know, that plate in front of you tastes that good because of who served it to you, the environment you're in, who you're eating with, you know. So it's all very situational. So to try to just say, well, this dish is awesome, so it's always going to be awesome and work for me, doesn't always work.
All right, let's talk about the situational and the settings for these pop-up dinners. And we'll do that right after we take a break. The number to call is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WMC comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York. Announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton. Providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. And the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs. Educating children pre-K through grade 12 and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning. WaldorfSaratoga.org.
Welcome back to the jolly old Three Chefs and a Baker here on Vox Pop Food Friday. Ray Graff at the helm, 800-348-2551. We're enjoying some fine cookies. We're talking about pop-up dinners. And you guys, first of all, how do you select the venue? It occurs to me that we have three chefs here and just a genius baking. Who sets the mood? Who does the decorating? How do you do this?
I think it's wherever we are. Like, the museum was really cool. We had, like, herbs on the table. And I don't know, it just kind of takes on itself.
It actually is. So as far as, like, the actual, like, setting the ambiance or whatever, that definitely depends on the space. You know, the first one we did was in an Italian import store.
Okay,
awesome. So which was awesome. It was actually probably one of my favorite ones so far.
Yeah.
But it was great. You know, we kind of pushed all the racks to the side while the food had all the food on it. We set a really nice table with tablecloths and fresh flowers and everything. It was a really fun environment. You know, the museum was a little more subtle. It was, you know, so it depends on the environment. And how do we pick the place? The places usually pick us, actually. You know, someone will say, oh, I heard you guys do this. You know, would you ever consider doing it in my place?
The bowling alley or something?
That'd be sweet.
Anyway. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really doesn't necessarily matter the place, you know. Yeah, and they usually come to us.
Whoever will take us.
Yeah,
we're kind of a radio station.
I was going to say, perfect. This is enough
we can
space.
Make it happen.
We would do one here. We should. You should do one. Yeah.
Do one right in here.
You should do one right here.
Okay.
I think you just got signed up.
Let's talk to the producer. She'll be in for some more cookies in a moment. Let's go to Joan in Valencia. Joan.
Yes.
You're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I am allergic to wheat.
Oh boy.
And whenever I go out, I can only have salad. It's really ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, what do you do? You don't go out much, right?
Right.
Well, that's tough. That's tough. So, do you have some questions for the chefs?
Yeah, some recipes that I can change so there's no wheat in it.
Ah, okay. All right. Fair enough.
I think Linda does some gluten-free.
No, actually, we don't any longer.
No?
No, all right, we don't. Our kitchen just has too much flour, so it would be more...
It has to be tough, especially baking. Yeah. You have to have separate facilities and equipment and everything else. Yeah. Well, there's got to be some good recipes. Mm. Now, you should have been listening last week, Joan. We had vegan gluten-free recipes aplenty. It was great.
The problem is gluten-free does not mean that it's wheat-free. You can use wheat starch as a very cheap form of starch that even gluten-free bakers use.
Ah. Well, I'm afraid you may have stumped the band here. I apologize, Joan, but hey, good luck and thank you very much. Let's go to Dora in Altamont. Dora, you're on.
Hey there, everybody. How are you?
Good.
Hey.
Good, yes. So my partner Peter and I own Finn Your Fishmonger in Gilderland. And
of course. Hey, Dora.
Hi, Dora.
Hi. So we do lots of education about seafood, as you can imagine, and this might be a great opportunity for you all to talk about how easy it is to cook seafood, particularly en papillote, whether it's wrapped in parchment paper or aluminum foil.
Okay.
So I wonder if you could take a second to talk about that.
All right. Chefs, have at it.
Brian?
He loves his fish.
I do love my fish. You know, it's been a while since I've done fish and papillote or in parchment paper, but I like the method. Well, it's what depends on whatever ingredients you want to pair up with it, put in there. You know, it's almost like a one pot meal, so to speak. You know, and then of course the whatever herbs and vegetables you put in with it tend to lend its flavor to the fish, which is the real advantage in my opinion. But like I said, it's been a while since I've done that. It's not typically, easy to accomplish in a restaurant scenario.
Yeah, so, more rustic home style. Yeah,
so
can be done nice as a tableside presentation. Yeah.
Even in a pizza oven.
We definitely roast our fish in the oven, but I would light that parchment paper on fire at 1300 degrees.
Yeah. I like to do it at home.
That'd be pretty impressive. Dora, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Dora.
Good luck. Justin in Lake George. Justin.
How's it going today?
Good. You're on.
Hi, guys. I had a question. I'm currently looking into purchasing a tow-behind wood-fired pizza oven.
Nice.
And, I was going to start simple.
Mobile?
Doing my free time when I can for now, and then eventually take the plunge into it if it goes good. Just wondering if the chefs had any advice on somebody like myself going into this, things people go wrong, you know, anything like that.
It's only two things you need. You need a very good recipe for your dough and a good source of quality wood.
And insurance, I imagine, right?
Nah, those ovens are solid. You buy a good oven, you're good to go. It's fine. It's a mobile fireplace. But it's really comes down to getting your recipe for your dough right. You can outsource it, but it's never the same. You really should come up with a good recipe for yourself, what works for you. And
I like the sourdough style myself, you know.
Sure, absolutely.
Natural leavened.
Sure, absolutely. Nothing easy about it, but absolutely, yeah.
I think whatever you do, I think you have the right idea in taking that grassroots approach and kind of building it slowly, word of mouth.
Absolutely.
And I think you have a good opportunity to really make something take off here.
All right.
Justin, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Mark Graham, Brian Bowden, Linda Kinlan, and Mike Nicoli. Are you guys all having fun?
We always have fun.
I gotta say, you are
maybe
the,
more than we should be.
You are the adult in the room.
Thank you.
You are clearly the adult in the room here.
Wow, shocker.
She's restrained today.
Many things I want to say.
She's just showing off.
Many things I can't.
There's
say.
No filter.
At least there's one of you that is behaving. And then again, the number to call is 800-348-2551. So the next pop-up dinner is happening April 10th, you said?
Correct.
And we know the venue, but we don't know the menu.
We know the menu.
We know the menu.
Okay, and you won't even give us a hint.
No. It's going to be food.
I know my menu at MC.
I know my dish.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
It'll be delicious.
And how do people find out about that?
Our Facebook page.
So we got Three Chefs and a Baker on Facebook.
Word of mouth.
Get a little closer to the microphone.
Restaurant Navona's promotion.
So, yeah, no, you can definitely see it through Facebook. I'll definitely talk about it on Restaurant Navona's Facebook page. Also,
and
Three Chefs and a Baker and Bake for You. And there's some other restaurants in the mix, but...
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, since you're forcing the mic on me, Mike. Mike, forcing the mic. I accepted the executive chef position of Sperry's restaurant in Saratoga.
The very famous Sperry's,
thank you guys. Yeah, so I think it's, I'm excited.
Famous.
It's going to be a lot of good opportunities.
You don't
there,
really
so.
Sound that excited.
Well, no, this is exciting.
Have you met Brian?
That's
exciting.
Right.
He's excited.
Out of his skin.
That's
right.
Exciting. Yeah.
So that's great news, and of course, once the track opens, you'll be working, man.
I don't want to talk about it, Ray. Right now, we're focused on some more day to day things,
right.
And then
okay.
No, I think it's gonna be a good thing, and I'm glad to have landed there, and it's gonna be a good relationship with Sperry. So
we have a tweet in from our buddy Deanna who says, "I'd love to hear the chef's thoughts on those BuzzFeed cooking videos like crockpot lasagna." Oh. Thanks, Deanna. We appreciate that. Helpful or harmful to home cooks?
Only harmful if they eat it.
Oh, Deanna, you.
Isn't she? She's always causing trouble, isn't she? Well, let's talk about crockpot lasagna.
It's like Marie Callender's pies.
No, you don't want to do that?
Is it a thing, really?
I think that we may have taken a call or two on that last time.
That scares
Mike,
me.
Why?
Mike rocked it. He did a great job.
He has a crockpot lasagna going right now.
If we ever have the four of you back on again.
That's probably not going to happen.
If you're ever back on, someone's got to bring crockpot lasagna. All right?
Bring it back. Bring
it's
it
a
back.
Special tonight.
All right, fair enough.
I think there's opportunities to do some good things in a slow cooker. But
I don't know. I love the slow cooker.
Yeah. You know,
maybe
if you
we'll
source the right ingredients.
Maybe we'll do a theme. Just
I saw that on the
pop-up.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw that on the lineup. Didn't I see a class on the Different Drummer's Kitchen as a
Deanna Fox doing it?
I think, yeah.
I'm pretty sure
she's got that lineup. You should look into that.
Don't diss the slow cooker. It's
No.
Working professionals who are not chefs.
Some of our cooks are slow, but we, you know.
Okay, you know, I got to say, you have been the most trouble. All of you have been just colossal troublemakers. Let's go back
colossal.
To the phone.
Wow.
Sharon in Bearsville. Sharon, you're on.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I just wanted to let the caller who called in about not being able to have wheat or can't have the wheat.
Yeah.
There are many things that you can order in a restaurant that are wheat-free, gluten-free, and they don't contain wheat starch. Yes, they're gluten-free because there's no such thing as a gluten-free wheat.
Okay.
I've been cooking and baking for a celiac for over 16 years, and we eat out all the time, and you just ask the chef to be careful.
Okay. And what happens when you chefs are asked to be careful?
We actually...
What's that?
I was asking the chefs here. We have three chefs. That, you know, when somebody like Sharon walks in and says, hey, listen, you got to be careful here. And I was, let's start with Brian. Brian, what would you do?
Thanks, Ray. It's difficult, you know, in a lot of commercial kitchens these days, there's flour. I mean, flour is used in everything, you know. So what we do is we take a lot of time to sanitize our station. The guys wear gloves. You know, naturally, a lot of my food is gluten-free. I just try to use, you know, the best proteins I can, vegetable starch, and stay away from, you know, in this day and age, you know, guest diets, choices tend to reflect or revolve around gluten-free these days, so it's just something you got to keep in the forefront of your mind.
At the end of the day, it's our job to make people happy, so we do the best we can.
Sharon, thanks a lot for that. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551. I got to say, Linda, you are doing great. The rest of you, we'll call you. Susie in Delmar. Susie, you're on.
There's a reason I didn't
call. Hi. I have a young adult son. He's in his 20s. He has what people call high-functioning autism, and he's developing independent living skills. And I'm wondering if the chefs have any suggestions about resources for how do you teach a young adult to take care of themselves in the kitchen, you know, to do that everyday cooking of looking around, seeing what you have on hand, and coming up with something to eat for dinner. We're finding it challenging, and I'm looking for some resources and suggestions.
I find it challenging, too. So this is a great question.
Well, I mean, we're coming into the spring. We're going to have a lot of farmers markets open up, and you can really get a lot of inspiration from walking around and talking to the people that produce these goods. I find that that'll give you some great inspiration towards, you know, how to put a dish together or put a dinner together. You talk to them. They know what is best, you know, what goes best with their product and their food, and, you know, no one's more into it than them. That would be my suggestion, is get them in front of the people that produce the food, and that should inspire most.
Okay, Susie?
That's a wonderful suggestion. I appreciate that very much.
Well, thanks
Anybody
for thanks,
know of
Mike.
Any cookbooks that sort of take you through step by step?
Okay, any?
You know, I don't even know if it's some production, but the one that I got, which I love and I still reference on basic, it's more French technique, but it's called La Varenne. It's a cooking school in France, and her cookbook, Ann Williams, is a great cookbook. It's got great photographs. You know, most cooks are visual learners as well. So that was a good book for me when I was young and starting out. Younger.
When I was young.
Younger.
When I, yesterday, when I was
right
young. Susie, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Bill in Rosendale. Bill.
Hi, folks. Great show.
Thanks.
Listen, I'm fortunate enough to have just returned from India. And I was at the in South India on the Bay of Bengal, and they served something called sand lobster, which beat American what I'm used to. I mean, I love lobster anyway, but this was like a cut above, and I was wondering if you'd ever heard of it.
I wonder if it's related
to what it was.
Slipper lobster.
What's slipper lobster?
Slipper lobster, I lived in the Caribbean for a year, and I worked at a restaurant down there, but the guys would come to your back door with burlap sacks of lobster. You know, the warm water lobsters have no claws in the Caribbean, and the slipper lobsters were small, and, you know, I only used them a couple times, but I'm wondering if it's very similar to
When you Google it, not that I am. if you Google sand lobster, the first hit that comes up is slipper lobster.
Oh, jackpot.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Okay.
Oh, maybe I'll have to Google it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Maybe try
but is
Dora
it available here?
What'd you say?
Oh, are
is
they
it available in the States?
You could probably get them frozen or something, but I wouldn't recommend it. You know, it's always best to eat what's, you know, in your environment. So,
right.
Maine,
well,
baby. Maine.
Okay. Hey, Bill, thanks a lot for the call.
Thanks a lot.
Very, very interesting. 800-348-2551. Ed in Pine Bush. Ed.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Ed.
I attempted to make a hollandaise sauce for the first time, and I had my wife was pouring the boiled butter into the egg yolk while I was whipping it, and it came out pretty good, and I was enjoying it, and as I was sopping it up with bread and eating it, it occurred to me that maybe I'm eating raw egg, and I was wondering if that was a problem or not.
But you
did
just
you die?
Put in
where,
the boiled.
Where'd you buy your eggs?
Where did I buy them?
Yeah. Your eggs.
Just from the local supermarket.
Okay.
But when I looked up how to prepare the sauce, they said you take the egg yolk and then you boil some of the butter, and you slowly pour it in while you're whipping the egg yolk. The sauce came up thick, but I wasn't understanding if it was completely cooking the yolk or if it was something that
fair
that
question.
I should be concerned
I think that
about
emulsion,
about raw yolk.
I think that emulsion of the hot butter with the yolk, you know, above 165 degrees should kill any kind of foodborne pathogen. So if you're up around 200 degrees, I think that Mike?
Okay.
Oh, no, I totally agree. That's the science of it all, but I don't agree.
Farmer's market
time,
eggs?
Buy a good egg, and you should be doing it over a double boiler. You want to make a nice base. Your egg should be nice and frothy at the bottom, and, you know, what Brian said. But just buy a good egg, and you'll be fine. Right. Buy a nice farm-fresh egg, and you'll be good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Ed, thanks a lot for the call. Very quickly, we only have about 30 seconds. Katie in Glenville, you have a very limited amount of time.
Go, Katie.
Okay. I'll be quick as I can then.
Okay.
I was just wanted the curiosity from the chef. We love going out to eat all the time and like trying new restaurants and different foods. But we have a child who has a tree nut allergy, and we're all, always very careful to relay that information to our server.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of curious, you know, the chef's reaction or how diligent kitchens are.
All right, fair question.
With those kinds
we have
of
about 15 seconds.
No chef ever wants that on his.
We take it
so
very seriously.
You better believe we're serious.
Very seriously.
All right, Katie, thanks a lot for the call. You'll be the last one today. All right, listen. This was a lot of fun. Mark Graham, Brian Bowden, Mike Nicoli. It's been nice. Linda, we'll have you back.
Thank you. I can't wait. That's so excited.
Three chefs and a baker. The next one is April 10th, and it is?
At Restaurant Navona, 289 Scotland Ave.
And you guys, you guys are on Facebook where?
Three chefs and a baker. And let's not forget about my wife, Carly, who kind of manages the front end operations of our three chefs and a baker.
Mm-hmm.
And
she kind of
she cracks the whip out, well, on me, obviously, more, but on the rest of us.
Well,
from
Carly,
time to time
we
as
appreciate
well.
All your efforts, and Brian seems fairly well adjusted, so you're doing a decent job. Support comes from Gloriosa and Company, Sheffield, Massachusetts, planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings indoors or out at the Curtis House. With three rooms available or at a variety of venues around the area, GloriosaCo.com. Kent Hicks Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations, serving Western Massachusetts for over 25 years. KentHicksConstruction.com. And Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tasting Saturday afternoons, SpiritHAUS.com. Thanks again to chefs Mark Graham, Brian Bowden, and Mike Nicoli, and baker Linda Kindlin for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the great calls. Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took the calls. Our producer, Jessica Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay tuned now for news.